There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad you're here. Live local talk over the hour. Lots to get into. I'd love to talk to you at 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll get into a couple bills that are floating around right now in Montgomery and get your take on them so you know what they're voting on or at least debating in committee before it would get any further than that. And also, I want to get that audio up here, if we can get that queued up. Can you got the audio cut?
Sheriff's officials say a Punta Gorda, Florida woman pulled a small alligator from her yoga pants during a traffic stop.
Not that. I mean, that's a great cut.
Sheriff's officials say a Punta Gorda, Florida woman pulled a small alligator from her yoga pants during a traffic stop.
No, but I was thinking about the other cut, the AOC one. Okay, you got that. Okay, so the we talked about this last hour, but I want to set this up because it looks like there's two sides to this story. First part of it is, and I would maybe remind you to go back and listen to last hour. There's a simple low hanging fruit, and maybe as Occam's Razor goes, that this is the answer. The answer is that Representative Cortez is willfully ignorant, and has just lived nowhere and traveled nowhere and had no concept that people have garbage disposals. I do have a theory that this is a put-on. This is a put-on to appeal to the home district at the same time to say, look at me, how hard scrabble. I've never seen... We'll play the audio. This is what they're talking about. This came from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Facebook, Instagram post this morning. And Dalton pointed this out early to me that she was going on and talking about this apparatus that is in her, I guess she's got an apartment there in D.C., of course, elected representative. So she's got her apartment there away from New York, away from home. And she's like doing a quick social media update here, this one on IG, about this thing in her house. Here, let's go to the audio.
Okay, everyone. I need your help because I just moved into this apartment a few months ago and I flipped this switch. It made that noise and it scared the daylights out of me. I am told this is a garbage disposal. I've never seen a garbage disposal. I never had one in any place I've ever lived. It is terrifying. I don't know what to use it for or what its purpose is. Like food scraps? Like, is this environmentally sound? I don't know.
So my theory there is, once again, I have this is being obviously about everybody in conservative talk radio is jumping on this, but they're all acting like that she is just she's ignorant. She's I don't think it. I mean, you can play the game, to run through the exercise, to run through the sprint here. She's willfully ignorant. She doesn't know how the rest of the world lives. That's why she has no concept of what it means to be an American anywhere else other than this small area of New York. Hence her, you know, strong socialistic tendencies and her, you know, adherence to ideas that are fairly far to the left of what is the center American belief. There's that. I get it. But my take on it is not that. I don't think she's ignorant. I don't think she's unintelligent. I think she, well, I think she may be a little bit unintelligent in the fact that she thinks there won't be people that pick up on what she's doing. And, you know, the left likes to use the term dog whistle. I will call this a liberal dog whistle. In this, she's making a subtle East Coast versus flyover country reference with regards. She's also making a, I'm so poor, people that are like me that have never seen a garbage disposal, we need to rise up and take on the socialist torch and move forward. I think that's what, I think it's more of a, I mean, to hear things like this and take it at face value, come on. Come on, this is what this is. This is a, dog whistle. Dog whistle, dog whistle, dog whistle. Take that term back, right? I think that's what it is. I think it's a liberal socialistic dog whistle. But you can believe she's just that ignorant. I mean, that's the, you know, the easy low-hanging fruit. Yeah, she's dumb and she, okay. All right. Maybe, you can have that take on it. I don't think it is. I think it's a little more calculated, but poorly calculated with anybody that has just a little bit of cynicism in them, just a squoshant of cynicism would say, you know, I don't buy it. I think this is a put on. All right, so there's that part. So that has everybody talking. And then somebody says, well, what about Dalton? I said, what about Dalton? They said on his Instagram, they said his audio. I said, I hadn't heard it. So they sent me the link here. So this is Dalton hacked from your Instagram. I don't know when he posted this up, last night or this morning. So we'll go to it. Here's our own Dalton posting up on IG this morning.
Okay, everyone. I need your help because they just built this new room in our office a few months ago, and I flipped this switch, and it made that noise, and it scared the crap out of me. I am told that this is a toilet bowl. I've never seen a toilet bowl. I've never had a toilet bowl in any place I've ever lived. It is terrifying. I don't know what to use it for or what its purpose is. Like food scraps? Like, is this environmentally sound? I don't know.
See, so so Dalton, that is out on your side now. I guess that's a good comparison because we're from Alabama, right? And they would say that we don't know about indoor plumbing or any of those things. That's the what's been hurled back our way, right? Everybody's got ringworm. So what? Going out to the outhouse here in Alabama. So either Dalton there is willfully ignorant of indoor plumbing, or he's making this very subtle play to those of us that don't have indoor plumbing. Dalton, I don't know how many votes that gets you. I think most people have the... There it is. So Dalton, your Instagram audio has also been leaked. All right. I shouldn't say leaked. I probably shouldn't. Let's go to the phones. Maybe somebody can say, my buddy Mr. Happy in Mobile can say me. Hey, Mr. Happy.
Sean, thanks for the humor and the laugh, man. It's unbelievable, man. I'm just...
She's never seen. Here's the thing. I mean, are we supposed to believe she's never seen garbage disposal? I mean, there's things that people have in other.
Stop. I can't stop laughing, Sean.
She's never seen a garbage disposal, man. It's this weird thing in the sink.
She poured drinks at a bar, okay? She was a bartender.
Yeah.
She lives in Brooklyn, man.
Yeah, you're telling me there's no garbage disposal facility at this bar in New York?
She's in Brooklyn. She also went to college in Boston.
Yes. Correct. As I said, I don't buy the simplistic. Oh, she's stupid. She's not stupid. She's making she made a miscalculation though that she would make this play to try to play up to some constituency that wouldn't be those of us out there. Go, oh come on, man, or lady.
Hey, as for Duncan, I guess when he walked in, I could smell where the water was. I could explain to me, man.
We've lost all, I think truly have lost all institutional control of this show. And I like it. I got to tell you, I like it. Mr. Happy, good to hear from you. But y'all don't tempt me into what I want to talk about on this National Teachers Day. I mean, while I'm married to a retired educator, I just thought maybe, you know, while we could do the regular teacher talk, what about Alabama's stats on teacher student per cap? Probably shouldn't do that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I can see the phone lines are popping for the Dalton Show. If any of y'all would want to take part in Midday Mobile, too. Same phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Remember last week when I was reading those headlines, I said, let's just look at the headlines here. And I was discussing the jobs numbers and how it looked for and the economy and how good the news was. But I did question one thing that... Yeah, like I said, by the end of every show, there's people on both sides of whatever spectrum are angry at me. Oh, well. Not losing sleep over it. So, you know, I pointed out how good what President Trump had done, some really great things, the economy surgeon, and as a small business owner and person who talks about this stuff every day, I'm fired up. Good work. Good work, Mr. President. Same time, I worry about the fundamentals, but I worry about the fundamentals no matter who's in office. I worried about the fundamentals during Bush and Obama, and I worry about the fundamentals now, too. And then remember, I was reading through the headlines, though, about the just the awesome numbers. Best since 69 for jobs. Just the growth of the economy, all those great things. We're reading through those. And then the last part of the headline, you know how the Drudge Report, I think I was reading off the Drudge Report to you. It'll do like, you know, bullet points like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 headlines or whatever, all that go back to a certain story, right, or a certain subject, and they all kind of relate to it. He breaks it out in different headlines about it. In that, the last one, remember when I read it and I went, man, that's a jinx. That is not good. What was it? You remember? Last week. Said, went through, went said, you know, jobs numbers good, economy, President Trump's approval rating, blah, 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 down the list. And then it says, stock market in an endless rally. And I at that point, I just wanted to turn off the microphone and get up and walk out. Get up and walk. And, like, because that... It's the musical chairs game and the music never stops. Endless rally. I hope it stays at an endless rally. I'm not, there are people out there for political reasons would like to see our economy go badly. I'm not, as somebody who is in business, a private citizen, I want the economy to continue to do fantastic things. But this idea that markets are at endless rallies, it just, history doesn't bear it out. And I just said, oh no, come on with that. And then, of course, you've been listening to the updates today. Dow falling 500 points as stocks retreat for the second day out there. That's the headline from the folks over at MarketWatch. So just watch it. We'll see what happens tomorrow. You know, some days, listen, this market, the way it's been for years now, is it'll act like it's getting ready to tuck, tail, and run on Tuesday, and you know, the bulls will be in charge again on Wednesday. To claim that I understand it would be a lie. I don't. The fundamentals that I had studied for decades often don't seem to play out. So I don't claim to get it. But it's when I see people say, "Oh, the market, it's the greatest thing. It never stops. It's endless rally. Everything's good. It's always good." It's when I run, man. When I hear that, when I run. But I hear people say, I guarantee you, Sean, this always happens in whatever conversation. That's usually when I head the other way. But listen, live your life how you want to. I'm cool with that. Phone number 343-0106 and Tony in Sims. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Sean. How's it going, man?
Man, good. Good to hear from you.
Hey, you too. Good to talk to you. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would say that living in these times, because I don't know if I'm more afraid that we have someone in Congress who does not know what a garbage disposal is, or we have someone in Congress who thinks she can convince
Bingo.
The American people
Bingo.
That she doesn't know what a garbage disposal is.
Bingo.
Or number three, the big trifecta, there are people out there stupid enough to believe that she doesn't know what a garbage disposal is.
Right, and that's the problem because, and with all deference to you know other hosts that do this and stuff, and maybe listen, I can't get inside her mind to know what she knows, but I'm pretty darn sure of myself on this one that this is a play. I mean, this is absolutely her socialist dog whistle out here. She knows what it is. She's making this, you know, she's making this play to try to recruit people to her side. So those who would just, I see the people out on social media posting, yeah, she's stupid, man. She doesn't even know what the, dude, she's not stupid. But you're missing the real stab is the fact that she, well, she's not smart enough to not think that there's a lot of Americans that are going to throw a flag on that play and say, come on, you know, take that political rant somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I've never owned a bidet, but I know what one is.
Thank you.
I know what it does.
That's exactly what was in, Tony, that was exactly the thing that was in my mind. You and I are on the same page. I didn't say it, but I was thinking about that. I've never had a bidet in a house I grew up in, never had it in a house I own now. But I know what they are. This idea that she, first of all, to believe that she worked in a bar in the restaurant business and she'd never seen a garbage disposal, whatever. But that she, we're supposed to believe that she never got anywhere, saw a TV show that had one in, a commercial, had traveled. Come on. Come on.
Strange times that we live in.
Well said. Thank you, man. Good to hear from you. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. You see what I'm saying, y'all? Don't fall for the... man, she's stupid. She doesn't get. She gets it, but she's not as smart as she thinks she is either. That's the point. So don't fall for it and point it out. If we're gonna say that on all sides, if somebody says something, this is a dog whistle. Then I'm gonna say this is a dog whistle for socialists or people on the left. This is a dog whistle where she's gonna say, I was so poor that I don't even know what this thing is. They call it a garbage disposal. I have never heard of it. It scares me. I thought there was a monster in my sink. Next thing she's going to say, this thing on the tracks, this steel horse that comes across the prairies and cuts our native lands in half. Shut up. Let's go to Clint and Theodore next. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. Been a long time ago, but I had the opportunity to intern with Sonny Callahan back a long time ago.
Cool.
When Joe Bonner was his chief of staff.
Oh, that is a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been 20 years. But listen to these callers call in. You do not get elected to Congress if you're an idiot.
Correct.
There's a lot of rhetoric that goes along with it, and I understand that. But these people aren't stupid.
Agreed.
And I don't. All right.
No, I agree with you. But I'm just saying, why? Here's the thing: is she's just smart enough, probably, to get herself in trouble, right? Because do you think that Clint, you and I, and Tony, and a couple other, were the only people going, "Oh, come on"? Don't you think there's a lot of people, even in Democrat ranks, would go, "Hey, come on, you got to do better than that."
Yeah, I do, and you know it. It gets very twisted how they go about this, and I don't know if she's looking. You know, I think she's looking to run for president.
Sure.
And that's all it comes down to. So she's trying to get every vote she can.
So what? How many people out there do you think that appeals to? Like, is there a big voting block of people that feel like they're garbage disposal disenfranchised in our republic?
No, they just don't. Most people don't listen. They don't listen to the news or the radio. They sit around and the vote she's looking for are the people that don't vote.
That's you're probably right. If you could get those people to ever rise up, you'd have something. Clint, appreciate the call. Let's go to Rick in Mobile next. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How about you? What do you want to talk about here? You want to talk about the bridge?
I just wanted to give my opinion on the bridge. If in my opinion, if they have to put a toll on it, let's just don't build it.
What do you say? What do you say about all the traffic backups and all those issues we have here? Those are going to get worse.
It is, but it's just frustrating because they're building some beautiful bridges, like in Pensacola. It's a gorgeous bridge, but I don't see them building a toll booth. So. Something's got to happen with our state government to figure out how to pay for this. This is on I-10, for goodness sake. I mean, if they do toll booths, that's going to really back it up.
Yeah, they said they wouldn't do toll booths. It'd be like a toll by plate kind of thing.
Right.
It's one takeaway there. But
can you imagine living across the bay and having to drive over every day and paying $6 or $5?
Right, that's what he's talking about. It could be $1,200 a month for folks.
That's why I say, you know, figure something else out. Just don't build that. It just doesn't make any good sense, and I just don't understand why state of Florida can figure out how to get it done, but we can't do it here.
There you go. Appreciate the call. We'll grab some more when we get back. By the way, first meeting to talk about that is tonight from 4:30 to 8 at Spanish Fork Community Center. Second meeting this week is Thursday at the Mobile Civic Center from 4:30 to 8. LDOT officials say the information models representatives will be there to take questions. You can look at them, ask those questions. Once again, tonight, Spanish Fork, on Thursday night, Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to your text in a second, Philip, because I feel for you as well. So, yeah, tough situation there. Tough. Coming to the phones at 343-0106. Speaking of which, well, we have the phone number in mind here at 343-0106. Let me get caller number 6 at 343-0106, because I got a pair of tickets for you to check out Daphne's 7th Annual Beer Festival. 99 bottles of beer on the lawn at Southern Napa. This is Saturday, like this coming Saturday, in the middle of this very cool jam-packed weekend, and this event is great. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, but there have been 7. I've been to 4 of them. 99 different beers to sample from Mobile and Baldwin County, then statewide beers at Alabama, then the Southeast, and around the world. Plus, they got live music, food truck there, pet adoption from Baldwin Humane Society. Tickets are $35, available online at southernnapa.com. But my buddy Jim Cox has given y'all a chance to save $5 per ticket. If you go online to southernnapa.com, buy your tickets, you'll save $5 per ticket when you use my promo code FMTALK. All right? Frank Mag Tango Alpha Lima Kilo, FM Talk, all mashed together. You'll save $5 a ticket. Sample the finest 99 beers available in Alabama this Saturday from 1 to 4 at Southern Napa in Daphne. It's the 7th annual 99 Bottles of Beer on the Lawn. Check it out. And early congratulations to whoever caller number 6 is. We'll talk about you in a second. My buddy Philip says, because of my eating habits, I've been called a human garbage disposal, so this is offensive to me. Philip, you know where my shoulder is. You need to come in and cry. This AOC thing, it's really, I know, it's hurt you. It's hurt you. And we'll build you back up, man. All right. Also talking about the tolling, and this all comes off an interview we did this morning with State Senator Chris Elliott. And it delves into, I think, there's a lot more. His basic premise is, hey, the people here locally, or you can't actually do it locally, frequent users, as he told us in that interview, you can't base the rate of tolling on address. Federal law says no. You have to do it based on if you're going to have a discount from frequent users. He thinks there needs to be an adjustment for people that would use the bridge or the tunnel. In other words, people who pay the toll a lot would pay a lower rate. I think most people nod in agreement here and say yes, 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 yes. And how much, you know, people are willing to pay, that's a question. There's some people say nothing, don't build it. Some people say, well, if it could be cut in half, that would be something. But the other part of this is why the toll would have to be that high to pay for this project. And that's one of the interesting things. I mean, he compares it in that interview, and you can go catch the podcast of last hour or the 8 o'clock hour from this morning by going to fmtalk1065.com, clicking the link for podcast, or if you're lucky enough to have already subscribed at iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or TuneIn Radio, it's waiting for you right there. So go listen to it, but he explains like the amount of the $1 billion of funding that's going in, you know, to a project in Birmingham, and that's not happening down here. In the days of the 80-20 split, federal local, that doesn't exist anymore either. By the way, this is all going to be discussed tonight. Once again, Spanish Fork tonight, the first of this week's meetings. You have tonight 4:30. Let me see, it's 4:30 to 8 o'clock tonight. 4:30 to 8 o'clock.
And then it's going to be the same thing on Thursday. Yes, so same thing on Thursday. So the first meeting, 4:30 this afternoon to 8 o'clock tonight, Spanish Fork Community Center. Second meeting Thursday at the Mobile Civic Center from 4:30 to 8 p.m. And you can make your voice heard in the public comment period on this. All right, to the phones. And let's go to Tink in West Mobile. Hey, Tink.
Hey, Sean, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. What's up? What's your take?
You can tell Dr. Bill is hot outside, by the way.
Okay, I'll pass along. Hey, Doc. Okay.
Listen, as a little background, I originally proposed moving to Mobile Airport over 20 years ago. It was done in a big letter to the editor when we had a local newspaper, just so I'm not a wild guy throwing stuff out.
Okay.
This whole bridge thing, they're trying to solve the wrong problem. The problem is, nobody will seem to admit it, the problem is the tunnel is a bottleneck.
Throwing well, sure it
bridge,
is.
High-rise bridge that's going to be difficult for people to get over and high cost is not going to help things any. What they need to do is, it's more than one thing. They need to do is put in another two-lane tunnel, that will reverse direction. Successfully done in many other places where appropriate time of the day. Friday afternoon, going to the beach, it's four lanes going that way. Second thing is, you'll need to rationalize the entrance to the tunnel. That needs to be fixed,
sure,
the current existing tunnel.
Yeah, that leads to, I mean, the majority of our accidents of overturned tractor trailers are because of that.
Yes. Third, solve that problem, ban long-haul tractor trailers. If they're not doing local work, ban them from going through the tunnel, send them through the Cochrane Bridge. Fix the roads over there so they're better for truckers. Truckers have told me that they don't care about how far they drive within a reasonable, they have to go 10 miles out of the way if they can maintain a schedule. And the tunnel does not allow them to maintain a schedule. I don't think you get a lot of gripes from that.
So you're saying, this is interesting. So take this on, without doing the bridge thing, you work the tunnel. Although, wouldn't that beg part of what this project, they say, the cost, or if you're going to do the bridge, they're going to have to raise the bayway and add the additional lanes. If you're going to have, obviously, more lanes of traffic because you'd have a tunnel and bridge and it dumps on the bayway, they have to expand the bayway. So in your case, they would have to probably do that too.
That's not the problem they're trying to solve. They're trying to solve the backup. If they want to raise the bayway, that's a totally different...
Well, no, not just raise, you're right, but expand it. And let's say that, because in your scenario, let's say you have these additional tunnel lanes, you still will have to have them not get bottlenecked. You know, you can't go from one bottleneck just and move that further east, right?
Well, you might have to put in some additional reversible two lanes of reversible interstate. I mean, I don't know the numbers and how it works. That's very possible, but it would work the same way. But it takes away that huge cost of that bridge, which I know is a huge cost. Tunnel's pretty straightforward thing to do. And none of it's going to be cheap, and none of it's going to be easy. But they need to solve the right problem.
There we go.
That's just a personal opinion.
Now, Tink, I think it's a great thought process. I wish, you know what, I'll hold on to that, and hopefully next time I get the LDOT folks on, we'll see. I would guess that they explored that. Maybe they have an answer for me, but I will get the question asked. I can do that. All right, I want to hit a couple of these bills that are floating around right now in Montgomery. So, you know, number one, actually, let me do this. Let me talk about what they're doing in Oregon right now and then bring this back here. So, in Oregon's House of Representatives has approved a bill to make the state's vaccine laws among the most stringent in the nation. In a chamber packed with opponents and with occasional laughter and jeers from the gallery, Democrats muscled through. Now, this is not here in Alabama, y'all. We're talking, this is Oregon. Muscled through House Bill 3063 on a 35-25 vote. I think you got the breakdown of the votes. But they said, with House passage, HB 3063 is eligible for a vote. Here's what it would do. It would require, with some exception, require vaccination. Now, this is huge. With the story about... the measles cases on the rise, we now have a confirmed case in Alabama. People are asking this question, and we'll get to the Alabama bill in a second. Once again, this is an Oregon bill. This is not happening in Alabama, but this is just in reference to set the table here. They said the bill among the most contentious in this session there in Oregon. Tension was in evidence during roughly 2 hours of debate on Monday. Supporting lawmakers painted the bill as a common-sense proposal that will protect young children and those with compromised immune systems from events such as the measles outbreak. And then they reference, I guess they've had a pretty good outbreak, not good, but significant outbreak in southwest Washington state, obviously right across the border from Oregon. Opponents, for the most part, downplayed the recent outbreak and noted that its impact in Oregon was limited. They argued that HB 3063 will impede the ability of parents to make choices about their children's health. This is, okay, here it goes. If it becomes law, House Bill 3063 will make Oregon the fourth state in the country with no philosophical or religious exemptions available to parents who don't want to vaccinate their kids or want to vaccinate them on a slowed down timeline. So it would be the fourth. So this is okay. So there's the law in Oregon. Now, back home here in Alabama, a discussion of a bill that is not requiring vaccination, but is making it part of a database and having physicians note whether or not children like go into the system and input the data whether the child is vaccinated for everything on this list. Here's the discussion here. It says legislation from Senator Tim Melson, Republican out of Florence, and Representative April Weaver, Republican out of Briarfield, would require healthcare providers to check a statewide patient database before administering vaccines and update the registry when they give any. Database is currently available to anyone in the state who provides vaccines. Alabama public health officer. Okay. Bill would require anyone who gives vaccines to enter them in the system. To me, that'd be if you were going to get the vaccine anyways, wouldn't you want to be in the system? Then you wouldn't have to. I mean, if you had to go like somewhere else or for school or whatever, you could say, oh, just go online. But people are bothered because they're saying it's putting a system in here talking about who's vaccinated and who's not. But that's, I mean, I guess you could go through right now and check the records, but those records, I guess, would be protected, right? Wouldn't that be HIPAA protection? Don't you choose to whether to make that information available? State law allows state health officer in Alabama, here's the law. State law allows a state health officer and state board of health to decide which diseases children must be immunized for prior to attending school. Department requires vaccines for diphtheria, tetanus, or what did we hear it called the other day? Tetanus or something? Tetanus, whooping cough, polio, measles, mumps, rubella, and chicken pox. State law also allows for exemptions from vaccines based on religious or medical reasons. I don't know how hard it is to get that exemption out there. But that's one of the bills that's moving around Alabama. Nothing like the Oregon law. Unless somebody equated the two. I don't think it's anything close to the Oregon law, but it is some movement on it as they, you know, want to say, hey, we're doing something about this, the measles outbreak out there. Then another one, how about this? This is not the first time this has happened. Remember, I guess it is the first time because in the past, we the people were supposed to remit checks to the state of Alabama for our online purchases and sales tax, right? Remember that? And, you know, I got to say, I can see both sides of this. I can see the side of reality where people didn't do it. Also, I could say, hey, if brick and mortar stores that are paying taxes have to compete against online retailers, you know, I'd have an even playing field on this. Even though people will argue, well, the online retailers have the added cost of shipping and all that. So, state of Alabama then moved, what was it, last session or session before? I think last session, to have the actual retailers collect the sales tax. Now, they used it if a retailer has any kind of brick and mortar in the state. They use that as the reasoning. But there are, if you look when you go online and buy things, there are online retailers collecting sales tax that don't have any brick and mortar in the state that I know of. Okay, so that's the law right now. It's basically what we're supposed to be doing in the first place, they now made into law. Okay, so that part happened last session or maybe the session before. What's changed now is a new bill in the Alabama legislature would increase the tax rate for online sales and would require more online retailers to collect sales tax. The bill is proposed by Representative Rod Scott, Democrat out of Fairfield. He wants to increase the online sales tax from where it is now at 8% to 9%. Back in October, U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states can require online retailers to collect sales tax even if they don't have a physical presence in that state. House Bill 418 passed the House General Fund Committee and is expected to get a vote sometime today. So that is in play right now. moving that online sales tax from 8% to 9%. We'll see if they get it through, but that is one of the things they're working on. All right, we'll come back with more on that. Congratulations to Carl Sefton and Theodore. Won tickets to 99 Bottles of Beer on the Lawn, that event at Southern Napa on Saturday. We'll have more tickets for you to win tomorrow morning on Mobile Mornings for that. Plus, we still have more tickets to concerts here on the Gulf Coast to come. And I may or may not, probably will, give you a chance to win those coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Answer, Dalton, is volume. See, well, maybe we'll give away a prize if somebody could tell us what we were just watching during the break. The answer is volume. Comes from some comedic genius from a TV show. Be somebody on the text line. I know this audience will answer it. Hey, this is Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Let's go ahead and do this, too. Caller number six, I've got a pair of tickets for you to check out. Brian Adams, that show is on Friday night. Starting a big weekend at the Wharf. Of course, we have the Jim Gaffigan show on Saturday night. Brian Adams, this show this Friday night, like in a couple of days. 8 o'clock show, doors open 6:30. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com. Wharf box office or charge by phone, 800-745-3000. Caller number six, Brian Adams, Shine a Light Tour tickets for you. 343-0106. Good luck. And win those. And by the way, it continues tomorrow, too. More chances to win tickets to Gaffigan and Brian Adams and Widespread Panic coming up at the end of the summer, plus tickets to 99 Bottles of Beer coming up this Saturday. We're loading you up. And by the way, you got Mother's Day this weekend, too, so plan accordingly, right? Don't have too much fun. Or take Mom with you. Take Mom with you. All right, going down the list here. Okay, so we mentioned the online sales tax increase. This is House Bill HB 418 that would like to raise it from the 8% on online sales to 9%. We'll see where that goes. Okay. Then another one, and we'll probably have the representative backing this bill, this next bill, on the show tomorrow, it looks like. Another fantasy sports gambling bill proposed in the Alabama legislature. State Representative Kyle South, great name, Kyle South, out of Fayette, is sponsoring a bill that would legalize, a Republican, would legalize fantasy sports gambling in Alabama. Fantasy sports, I mean, everybody wants it. Just why don't, God bless with cutting it up all these different ways. Why don't we have the referendum? Why isn't the constitutional amendment, let's just gamble. There's all these different ways. There's lotto, but it's fantasy sports. But what if we do this and it's a video bingo? Just get in the pool. Quit with the toe in the water. So Kyle South is sponsoring this bill, would legalize fantasy sports gambling in Alabama. Fantasy sports are the most commonly played on apps through the phone, and peer-to-peer competition allows people to create their own teams from existing players, and how those players actually play affects how their fantasy team does. Yeah, that's one of the arguments why fantasy should be legal, right? That they say it's skill to build the team versus a game of chance. All the states surrounding Alabama have fantasy gaming. Just like lottery. Okay. But Kyle South believes that there's still some confusion in Alabama about fantasy gaming. South believes that fantasy sports are more about the analytics, further enjoying sports with your friends. Yeah. Legislation would allow for people to play the game and be a team manager of their own sports team. So that bill is being brought today in Montgomery. And hopefully we'll have Representative South on the show tomorrow to talk about it. So a couple you got to look at. So there you go. You've got a possible increase in sales tax in your online purchase, a push for fantasy sports gambling, and at least it is not a required vaccine law and vaccination law, but at least a little codification of how vaccines are that those records are kept in Alabama, which, by the way, we'll have to save this over probably for tomorrow, although you could hit me up on the Twitter feed and talk about it later. Is there any reason to say you should mandate? Should you go like Oregon and mandate vaccines? Would you be for a law like that? Would you back a law that says if you have, you know, your child reaches age whatever, when they need to be vaccinated for this, that, and the other, and if not, you're going to be in trouble? not just the not let in school, but there would be no exceptions for maybe except for, you know, medical. Let's say they would put a medical exception in there, but other than that, not even for religious grounds or anything, you have to vaccinate your children. Or you, the parent, will be hauled off to jail hauled off to jail. Would you back that law? Not saying that it's not happening right now in the state of Alabama, but it's not far from that what's happening in Oregon, right? That this proposal out there to absolutely mandate vaccination. I'm torn on it because I'll tell you right now, science, logic, unless there are extenuating circumstances, but other than that, vaccinate your children. At the same time, I hate greenlighting the power of government to mandate what parents do with their children. How about that? All right, Clint in Irvington. Good job, man. Just picked up a pair of tickets to go check out Bryan Adams Friday night at the Wharf Amphitheater. All right, we're out of here. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. And I'll talk to y'all mañana for Mobile Mornings. It'll be a Wednesday. I'll see you then.